We're giving them the opportunity to be on a platform to get interviewed. And then we share that interview with them. They can post it on their social media. They can put it on their website. They can do whatever they want with it. We're providing them with value.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam A. Adams, and looking forward to today's episode because the guy that I'm interviewing, he's had his podcast and been going for like 300 episodes. So what we want to do with Dave DeBow, lots of D's, lots of A's in my name, lots of D's in yours. What we're going to do is just talk a little bit about his journey, where he came from, why he started it, if he wanted to accomplish something, if it's doing that, and definitely what he's learned along the way. And with 300 episodes, you're sure to get some nuggets out of this because he's been doing it for quite a while. Dave, I'm excited. I'm excited to have you on the show. Not always do I have somebody with your experience. And so I think we're going to get something a little bit new. Can you just take me back? Just a short answer, right? What was the year that you started your podcast?
2018. Thanks,
Adam. 2018. Mm-hmm. So it's been about four-ish years, about 300-ish episodes. And so I'm trying to do the math. That's a little over one a week, isn't it?
Yeah, we actually, for the last quite a while, we've been doing two a week.
Okay.
So that's our typical schedule, is two episodes a week.
So you started with one and now you're at two?
I guess so. Looking at
you
the
math. So. Or maybe you skipped
or maybe I've
a
lost
year.
Track of, maybe I've lost track of how many episodes we've got, but it's been two episodes for a heck of a long time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so do you recall a time that it was one episode a week?
I guess probably at the very, very beginning, it was probably okay. One episode a week for a while.
What I'll say is a lot of people that start podcasts, not my clients, we would never let somebody do this, but they think that they're going to do like a monthly podcast, just 12 in a whole year.
Yeah.
Or they think that they might do a bi-monthly, twice a month, I mean. Mm-hmm. And so whatever that ends up being, 24 episodes in a year. And I've always felt like that was totally not enough. But they hear this feedback from other people that say something like, you should start a podcast at a level that you know you can sustain. And I can't disagree with that, but I'm curious for you, you know, why didn't you do one a month? Why didn't you do two a month? Why did you do one a week? And most importantly, once you started with once a week, like, why didn't you decide, oh my gosh, this is so much, but you actually progress? So kind of talk us a little bit about your episodes per week.
Well, I'll respectfully disagree with you a little bit there, Adam, about once a month or twice a month not being enough for somebody, because in my opinion, it really depends on what your goal is from your podcast. So in certain circumstances, maybe it's not a bad idea to have one episode a month. I think that is probably too little, but one every 2 weeks, if that's doable for somebody, unless they're planning on actually scaling things big time with their podcast. So it depends on what your goal is with the podcast. And I know you work with folks that really want to take it seriously, take it to the next level, become influencers. But some people, believe it or not, might not have that as a goal for their podcast. So the reason I got into podcasting in the first place was laziness, believe it or not, laziness. Because here was the thing for me, Adam, back in the day before I started doing podcasts, I already had a bit of a following in the real estate investor space. And I always had to come up with new content to keep in touch with my list. So I was always having to come up with stuff and writing blog posts and writing this, writing that, and emails and all that kind of stuff. And quite frankly, I don't like writing. I really don't. So then I heard about this whole idea of podcasting and the light bulb went off in my mind. I said, hey, you know what? I can jump on a Zoom call with somebody, have a conversation, create content and I don't have to come up with it from scratch. So this is a perfect way for me to kill two birds with one stone. So my whole goal with starting the podcast was, number one, to provide ongoing valuable content for my followers, for my list, for my database, whatever you want to call that. And number two, it was really a way to connect with other influencers in my space. So in my space, it's real estate investing. So the people I interview on my podcast tend to be other real estate influencers. And my whole goal there is, like I said, providing really good content for my followers. And number two, starting a relationship with other influencers that can lead into cross promotions, joint venture things, that sort of stuff. So that's the two goals I had behind starting the podcast in the first place.
So let's continue with the question, which is on the number of episodes per week and going from one episode a week and then to two a week. Can you tell us a little bit more about that part of the journey?
I'll be perfectly frank with you. I don't remember the one episode a week time frame. I, for some reason, in my head, it's been like two episodes a week. And maybe there were a few times it was skipped a few or something like that. But it seems like in my foggy memory, we've been going two episodes a week for a hell of a long time. And that was always kind of my goal, so that I could have two contact points a week with my database providing value, giving them a reason to click on a link and open things up and that sort of thing. So maybe it's my foggy memory. I just don't even remember the one time a week.
Okay. So why two a week? And has it been easy or hard?
Why two a week? Again, to have that drip, 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 that constant, consistent, what I call edutaining communication with my list. So again, it's not, you know, because we do a combination of things. We got twice a week, and I believe we come out on Tuesdays and Fridays with our podcast episodes. So those days we know exactly what's coming out. And then in between, we might have something that's a promotion for a webinar or something like that. But this is a way to just provide pure value without anything salesy in it for the list. So that's the whole reason that we started doing it that way. So is it hard? No, not the way I've got it set up, Adam. I've got a really, really good team. And I know you guys provide an amazing service for your clients as well. So it's all about systematizing things. So I'm at the point now, I've got an assistant who helps me find guests. So she goes out there and scours the interwebs and finds, you know, creates lists of prospective guests for me. I just take a quick look at them, see if they might be a good fit or not. If they are, then I ask her to do an outreach. We have a quick little, what I call collaboration call. We jump on a, you know, 10, 15 minute Zoom call. I see what they're up to, let them know what I'm up to, see if they might be a good guest for the show, see if I might be a good guest for their show, if they have a show or something like that. And then we move from there. So it's really a kind of a big part of our whole marketing process.
I'm making a quick note because there's something that you said that I want to get back to in a sec.
Sure.
So I'm going to ask my question in a slightly different way to get an answer that I think will be really helpful for the listener. I've asked you why two, three times, and I keep getting the same answer. So what I'm going to say this time is, why not three? Why not one? It makes no sense that you just pick two. Why is it exactly two? Why isn't it three? Why isn't it one?
Well, it's two because I find that that's a rate that I can consistently do, that we can just kind of keep going at. And quite frankly, at this point, I'm almost considering one. I'm actually looking at doing an additional podcast, a much more niched podcast, a much more focused podcast on exactly what I focus on, and doing one episode a week for each podcast moving ahead. I haven't started that yet, but that's kind of what's percolating in my mind. So two was just something that I found that I could consistently do and actually make happen. And okay, not be falling by the wayside. Three, I think, would be stretching a little bit. And quite frankly, I think it would be kind of whacking my list too often with too much podcast stuff.
So with your list, you're saying that you think that three would be a little bit too much for your list. And what I was curious about is if you're sending out an email every time you drop an episode.
Yes.
Okay.
So again, if you recall, Adam, part of my goal for starting the whole podcast was to provide a reason for communicating with my list that wasn't salesy all the time. So that was the number one reason I started the podcast in the first place.
So I know a lot of people, including myself right now, that don't email out our every single time. Some of our clients, what they'll do is they might publish, let's say, 8 or 9 episodes in a month. And at the end of the month, they'll do like a monthly roundup or wrap up where they just send one email. I don't get a lot of people that send an email each time an episode drops. And I'm liking your thought process, whereas one would be fine, two would be better, three might be too much for that. Mm-hmm. I'm curious if you're getting like unsubscriptions from the email list because of two a week, or if the email's growing, or, you know, just kind of like, how is that working? Since I don't have a lot of experience emailing every single episode.
Yeah, no, we don't have a lot of drop off from the podcast emails because, again, in my opinion, at least, it's a value add. It's not a, hey, buy my stuff kind of a message. It's a, hey, here's something that might be interesting for you. And it really all comes down to the subject line. If we pique their interest with the subject line, then chances are they'll click on it, they'll open it. If they want to, then they'll click on the link and watch the YouTube video version of the episode or listen to it on, you know, iTunes or whatever it is that they prefer.
Well, okay. Very interesting. I want to ask you the part where you disagreed a little bit earlier, mm-hmm. where you said it's fine to do, you know, fewer episodes, like even instead of twice a week, even just twice a month would be fine depending on the goal. Do you mind sharing like what goal would that person have and twice a week would still hit that goal?
Yeah.
So, I mean, twice a month. Excuse me.
So for example, I work with a lot of real estate investors who are looking to raise capital. Okay. Mom and pop real estate investors, those kind of folks. So they tend to be very, very busy already. They tend to be working full-time at a job. They've got families. They've got a real estate portfolio that they're trying to manage. They're trying to do all this stuff. And I know you've got a background in real estate investing. So you can remember back in the day when you're trying to wear all these hats and juggle all these things. So if we were telling somebody like that, and they were interested in starting a podcast and saying, hey, you know what? You got to crank out 3 episodes a week. Yes, you can batch them up. You can do one day where you do a bunch of interviews all at the same time, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. It ain't going to happen, right? It's just not going to happen. And we got to look at what is the goal. So if their goal is that they're trying to get a prospective investor on their show to interview that person to start the relationship, right? Where they're looking at the podcast as being a vehicle to provide value, to get their foot in the door, to connect with people that they might not be able to connect with otherwise. And they really don't give a crap about growing their audience per se. They don't really give a crap about, you know, becoming a big influencer in the space or something like that. If they're using a podcast exclusively as a marketing tool, hard to reach people, because here's the cool thing, and I'm sure you've seen this, Adam. When you got a podcast, even if it's not a super well-known podcast or anything, it's a lot easier to reach people who would otherwise probably ignore you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's where I could see, you know, doing occasional episodes, one every 2 weeks, once a month, sporadic, whatever. That's where I could see that still being a worthwhile endeavor for people.
Okay. So what I think I'm hearing is some people want a big audience. They want a big audience for one of two reasons. One might be that they want to monetize the show. Mm-hmm. And two might be because they really want to just leave a legacy on the most amount of people.
Right.
But there's another benefit to podcasting, another way that we can use podcasting as a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And that is to connect with our avatar directly by interviewing them on our show. And for example, we could have a goal of raising private capital for real estate, for example. And we might be able to interview somebody who could place capital, and we could be connected with them, add value to them, get to know them, learn from them, and have them feel like they got the opportunity to share their story with other people. And during that call, we might be connected enough where they find out that I need to raise capital. They've got the capital, and it might obviously naturally happen that they work with us.
I doubt if it would happen that quickly, but at least you would start get the relationship started on the right foot. So instead of you just kind of reaching out cold, trying to get something from somebody, right? Which is what most people do, what most salespeople do.
Yeah.
We're leading with the giving hand first. We're giving them the opportunity to be on a platform to get interviewed. And then we share that interview with them. They can post it on their social media. They can put it on their website. They can do whatever they want with it. We're providing them with value. So that's where I see that. And then we're also, you know, it's another touch point. We can say, hey, I just did an awesome interview with Adam. Very, very sharp guy. So I could be using that as a communication point for my list as well.
Yeah. So that's two really good reasons. I appreciate you going into that. The thing that I typed in, remember I said, I just needed to type in some notes so we can get back to this. I wrote down the word reciprocity, and is with regard to your team and how they're doing the outreach. Mm-hmm. It sounded like you mentioned that they start by looking at all of the people out there that they can find. They're doing searches. They're looking for maybe real estate influencers in your case. Yeah. And once they connect with a list, you look at it, you verify which people might be good fits. And the goal then after the interview, that the short conversation that you have with them prior to maybe having an episode recording, you try to do a reciprocal interview.
Yeah.
And I love that, because them being on your show, you being on their show, you're hacking into their network, they're hacking into your network, and you're a rising tide lifts all ships. Yes. So you're both benefiting, and you're using the audience that you've built and the 300 plus episodes that you've done over the last 2, 3, 4 years in order to reach out to these people, connect with these people. And now not only are you able to be on their show, they can be on your show. You get more content, you can add more value to your list. Additionally, it's probably possible that a few of those influencers who know a lot of people, because they're influencers, that's what happens, they might think of you first. If somebody, for example, needs to raise more capital, they might teach self-storage investing or something
else.
But they're like, well, you got to talk to Dave DeBoe. I just had him on my podcast. Listen to this episode, get some value out of it. And then your coaching business might also thrive because of that additional, those relationships.
Well, that was the number two reason why I started the podcast, was exactly for that, for connecting with other influencers and expanding the reach, getting interviewed on other people's shows, whether it's a podcast or, for example, a couple of days ago, I got interviewed by a guy who's got a pretty big YouTube following. So same idea. We jumped on Zoom, had our conversation, but he's going to be, he doesn't do podcasts. He just does his YouTube channel. So bang, there we go there. And his interview goes on my channels, and it's a win-win for both of us.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Learned a lot so far. I want to go into a couple of things.
Sure.
I want to say anything that you would change today. That's the first question. The second question is, if you did it over, if you, you know, repeated everything, what things would you change then? So two-part question. Let's start with number one. Is there anything that you want to change now? I heard you say maybe even going down to one episode a week.
Yeah.
What do you think?
So to change, the process has been very effective for me over the last number of years. It's been great. However, it hasn't been fantastic as a direct lead source of new clients for my primary business. So it's been a great way to get out and start the conversation, provide content, provide value, meet other influencers. And indirectly, generate a lot of business because I've done a lot of joint venture cross promotional type things with other people, but it hasn't been a great way for me to shake the tree and directly generate business for my, basically it's marketing agency, right? That's, we help real estate investors raise capital. So what I want to do now is I want to pull back a little bit on this podcast and start a new one, which is 100% niche into my main specialty. And instead of it being primarily an interview type podcast, the new podcast is going to be probably 75% just myself providing value to promote myself more as an influencer, as the expert, the go-to guy in this particular area, and 25% interviewing other people who are also in the arena as well. So I'm going to get to the point where I've got both going, but again, I don't want to bite off more than I can chew. So I'm probably going to cut my original podcast down to one episode a week and do one episode a week with the new podcast. And then again, to be providing content and value to my followers, again, we keep it at that two emails going out a week.
Yeah.
So we're not overwhelming people or overwhelming myself and the team with too much work.
Well, I might want to stay on this here for just a sec. There's so much in my mind and I want to narrow it down. So I'm one of those dyslexic ADD people. And so it's like the whole world is in my brain and my mouth can only say one thing at a time.
I think we might be twins in that respect.
Leads for your primary business.
Yeah.
It's a marketing agency. You help real estate investors raise capital.
Right.
If we could just pause there for a sec.
Sure.
And you could let us know how you do that. That might help me with some of the other direction of where we go with the episode.
Cool. Yeah. So we provide done for you marketing services for our, what I call mom and pop real estate investor clients. So all the way from helping them to, you know, extracting all of their contacts from their phone, their social media, their address books, whatever, creating a database of prospective investors for them, getting that uploaded into a CRM system, building a website for them, creating a slide deck presentation for them, practicing and role-playing it, rehearsing it with them, setting up their initial warm-up marketing campaign to reconnect with all these people before they charge in and say, hey, invest with me. Do the ongoing marketing with electronic newsletters, video logs, blog posts. So every single week, there's edutaining content coming from them to their list. Doing a podcast episode with our clients as my invited
guest. That's with the new niche one, you mean?
No, this is something that we do with our current podcast.
Okay.
Again, to provide value for them, to give them something that they can put up on their website. No.
If you don't mind, what else does it do? For your client, you mentioned already that they get some exposure.
Exactly.
What does it do perhaps for your listener and your business to have a client, a guest?
Well, not much at the moment, Adam, because I don't use it in a self-serving way. So
okay.
I really, the whole goal of me interviewing, for doing a client interview, is to pump their tires, to make them look like the hot shot, to position them properly. It has nothing to do with me or my services.
Okay. So it's not like you do not talk about that they are a client at all?
No, not at all.
You ignore that. Okay.
I completely ignore that because it's all about them. And for this particular kind of interview, it's all about them. It has nothing to do with me.
Okay.
Plus, quite frankly, the people that they're going to be getting to watch this episode are not my avatar anyhow. Right. So it's not a good fit. Yeah. So anyhow, that's all the stuff. So we provide done for you services. We do webinars with them for them.
That's cool.
If they want to, we'll even co-author books with them, do book launches. It's a pretty robust service.
That's cool. If you heard his sound quality, Dave's sound quality change a little bit. He was reaching over to show a book on screen, which a lot of you probably are unable to see since you're just listening. But that's what he was doing. He was grabbing this book to show that he launched a book with one of his clients recently. So the new one is going to be more niched, 75% solos, so that you can be featured as the expert. And the other 25% will be interviewing others who will you interview, and will you use some of these interviews with clients as a more of a social proof, so that to represent that your company is crushing it and helping people to be able to do the things that they've wanted to do?
Yeah, you know what, Adam, I hadn't put too much thought into the whole interviewing clients to show that they're crushing it, but that is absolutely something that we'll do for sure. We've already got tons of video testimonials, so getting these as parts of episodes would be really, really smart. Interviewing other people kind of in the space, in the raising capital space, other people who are actively raising capital, just to get tips, tricks, ideas from them on how they're doing it, that sort of thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
So let me go through. There was this, the second question is, if you repeated everything, if you started over, let's pretend that you could go back 4 years, 300 plus episodes ago.
Yeah.
Just knowing everything that you know today, everything that you've learned, any hardships, anything that's gone through where with the marketing, with the emails, with the number of episodes, with different services out there, what might you do differently if you switched it all again? Or for example, you're starting a new podcast. What are you doing with this new one that you didn't do with first?
It's going to sound strange, but quite frankly, I don't think I would do anything differently.
Okay.
And that's might sound kind of obnoxious, but I was very fortunate that right at the very beginning, I got some good training on podcasting. I got set up with an amazing team from day one. Most podcasters struggle through because they're busy trying to do everything themselves. They're trying to edit their stuff. They're trying to find their guests. They're trying to... I created a team from the very, very beginning that I still have to this day. It's the exact same team 4 years later, amazingly. So it's a well-oiled machine. It's at the point now, and it, right from the very beginning, that pretty much all I do is show up on Zoom, remember how to turn it on, remember to press record, and the guest is on the other side, and we're ready to go. I just have to remember to, you know, upload the recording to Dropbox and let my VAs know that it's all ready to go. And they take care of everything after that. So the amount of time that's involved with me doing a podcast episode is probably about 40 minutes, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. Including the 20 minutes I doing the actual episode.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't do anything differently.
I'm trying to think. I know it sounds strange, but I was very, very fortunate, because I was almost going to say, well, maybe I should have started with the niche thing first instead of the more generic thing. But then looking back at it, I really need to do both, right? Because if I was just 100% niche focused, then I wouldn't be meeting very many other influencers. And by having the kind of the more broad spectrum podcast, I'm able to meet far more potential, you know, non-competing influencers in the space that we can work together. So, I mean, that's was a big part of the whole reason why I got into it in the first place. So, yeah, I'm very, very pleased, Adam, that podcasting has worked so well for me for my initial goals. Now, okay, no, you know what? Maybe I do take it back. I might have focused more on growing the podcast audience outside of my direct contacts, if you know what I mean. So putting more effort into ranking higher on iTunes, getting better ranking, that sort of thing. I didn't really pay any attention whatsoever to that. So that's one area that I could have definitely done better.
I like that. So let's do this. Let's jump into your absolute best advice, best tip ever for a brand new podcaster today. Somebody's jumping on. It could be something we've discussed today, or it could be something new. Let's do a quick word for our sponsor and then jump into Dave DeBow's top tip, and we'll jump off. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We are back with Dave Dubow, and glad you didn't go anywhere during that horrible ad. All right, let's do this. I want to wrap up a couple of things, and we're going to get Dave's absolute best advice that he's learned over 300 plus episodes, 4+ years of just pouring into this podcast and growing it. Some of the things that we've talked about, and by the way, his bio is in the show notes. You guys know I don't like reading bios, so I've already put that in the show notes. The podcast is Property Profits Real Estate Podcast. A mouthful, lots of P's in there. Yeah. And the
link to that. I
don't know
if that's assonance or alliteration. I can't remember which one, but it's a lot. Yeah.
So if you're listening and you want to check out his podcast, it's a real estate podcast and it helps you be able to be more successful in real estate. Scroll down because the link is already there. And if you do that, then I would love it if you took the time to just give him an honest rating and a review, just whatever you feel like he deserves, and let him know that you heard about him here on this show. We talked a little bit about a few things today. We talked about how many episodes a month you should do. He basically started with 2 per week, not 2 per month. He started with 2 per week. He started with that because 1, he was like, I could do more than 1 and I really want to stay in front of my people. But 3, that might be too much. We talked about a way that it might even be valuable for somebody if they wanted to do as few as maybe 2 episodes a month instead of 2 a week. And that was if the main purpose was for you to be connecting with your avatar one-on-one and be able to bring them on and have a reason to have that conversation with them instead of having to reach out to them as a cold sales pitch. We talked about how his team, it brilliantly is doing reciprocity when they're finding other influencers in his space, just like you can find other influencers in your space. You can vet them just like he does. You could even have a conversation with them to get to know you conversation. And then that could get it so that you're on their podcast and they're on yours. So instead of just you having them come to your show, you've now got the opportunity to hack into their network, to have their following also know and recognize you and your name. And if you do that a lot, like Dave has, you can get some really good value. We talked a little bit about the why he even started a podcast, because he's like me. He's effing lazy. He doesn't want to sit there and write out something. I've been writing my 3rd attempt at a book, Dave. My 3rd attempt. And I'm only like, I barely have to do anything because I have a ghostwriter. Writing, horrible. But I've put out on my real estate podcast over 600 episodes, on this podcast over 200 episodes. So I understand that laziness. I understand that it's a way to get the value to do the thing without spending all that time. We talked about his initial goal was to get that ongoing content to his list. He's crushing it there. We talked about the second goal was connecting with other people. We talked about what he would change right now. And what he's doing is maybe even adding a new podcast that is more niched down, less broad, more niched. If that's the one thing that he might do now, the thing that he said he would do if he repeated basically nothing, because he loves having his same audience. But if he did do something, he said he would focus a little bit more on not just supplying that content for his email list, but he would have worked on some of the marketing so that the podcast audience itself would have grown if he did it all over again. The new podcast is going to be probably 75% solo as the expert and about 25% interviewing others. One of the big things that he said that has helped him is having a well-oiled machine. So Dave, thank you for all of that value that you delivered to us. But if you could just give us just the one top tip for a brand new podcaster that they've got to implement if they want to see success, what would that be?
it would be to have a really good team doing all of the nitpicky stuff that you should not be doing, right? That's the only reason. If I had to do pretty much any of the techie stuff myself, Adam, I would have lasted 2.5 episodes and quit. I'm pretty positive of that. So having a team, like I know you guys provide an amazing service. So having somebody like you guys take care of all of the details, you know, all the way from finding really good guests to editing the shows, to getting them uploaded, to getting them sent out. In my case, is to getting emails created, to getting those out to my list. The whole thing for a typical episode for me only takes between 30 and 40 minutes of my time. And that includes the 20 minutes that I'm on the call interviewing somebody, right? So that's the number one thing I think that stops most podcasters. And I don't know what the stats are. I mean, it's just insane how many podcasts there are out there. But the stat I heard is that the average podcast only lasts 7 episodes. And I think that's because they're trying to do everything on their own and they quickly realize how non-fun that is. So focus on what you're good at and let the team do the rest.
I've heard the same stats. People say 90% of podcasts don't make it past 6 or 7 episodes. So yeah, if you have to edit it all by yourself and figure all that stuff out, it can get a little bit overwhelming. And so really, really great advice. And obviously it's worked for you. I mean, you've been doing this for years and years now. You've hundreds and hundreds of episodes now. And that's the one piece that I think it has helped you the most, is that you can spend so little time on your own being the star of the show and still having the show be a success. Love that. You can reach out to Dave. His contact information is in the show notes. Just scroll down. And again, if you check out his real estate podcast, then please leave him an honest review. Tell him what you think about the show and let him know that you heard about him here. As you know, every other episode on this podcast, the POP podcast on podcasting, is a solo episode. So on the next episode, it's just going to be me pouring into you, the listener, and helping you as a podcaster to learn and grow and go to the next step. So don't go away. Just go ahead and check out that very next episode and I'll see you there. If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.